35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And a very special guest today, Navy Vice Admiral, retired Nancy A. Norton, former Defense Information Systems Agency Director and Joint Force Headquarters Department of Defense Information Network Commander, a Roseburg High School graduate. Vice Admiral, thanks for being on with us this afternoon.
Well, thank you, Kyle. Thank you very much for having me, and hello to Douglas County and to Roseburg.
We talked to you several years ago, and you reminded me before we went on, you were actually out here one year for the Veterans Day Parade.
I was, and that was such a wonderful honor to be able to participate in the fantastic parade that Douglas County puts on and see a whole lot of our veterans there, and particularly some of our older veterans. That was a wonderful experience.
So talk about your recent retirement as Vice Admiral and becoming one of the highest officials in the Navy. Was it a hard decision to decide to retire?
Well, not exactly. Everybody comes to that point where there's really not any additional jobs for you. And I spent 34 years in the Navy and finished up, as you said, as the director of, we call it DISA, and the commander of the JFHQ Doden. And so I spent 3 years in that job as a three-star admiral, and essentially that was the top of the line for me, and so it was time for me to go home and let somebody else take over.
So let's back up and start with your time in Roseburg. How long did you live here?
Well, I moved in to Roseburg in 1976 from Coquille and that area in Coos County. My mom was a corrections officer in Coos County, and there in Coquille, worked in the jail there, and she moved to Douglas County, where she was a corrections officer for Douglas County for many years. And so we moved there in 1976. I graduated from high school in 1982. And then went on to college and graduated from college in 1986, and then that's when I joined the Navy.
Now, I understand that you have spent quite a bit of time in college with a number of different degrees.
Well, I did. So obviously I got my bachelor's degree before I joined the Navy and became an officer and graduated from Portland State University, and then later went to the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, California, where I got a master's degree in computer science, and then later went to Newport, Rhode Island to the Naval War College and got another master's degree in national security studies.
Now, when was it growing up when the idea of becoming an officer in the Navy first entered your head?
Well, it really didn't growing up. I was always a little bit interested in the military, always looking for a way to serve my country, serve my fellow human beings, and had thought about different opportunities. When I was in high school, I considered joining the military to get a scholarship for college. But then I was able to get an academic scholarship for college, and so didn't need to do that and didn't really think about it again until I was in college. I went to college to be a doctor, actually, and so I was pre-med major in college and got to my senior year in college and realized that I was not going to get, my grades weren't good enough to get scholarships for medical school, and I couldn't afford to pay for medical school on my own. So the military has a military medical scholarship program, and I had been getting flyers from the military in the mail while I was, because I was a pre-med major. And so I decided to look into the program, wound up going to talk to some of the recruiters, and wound up at the Navy recruiter's office. And the Navy definitely had the most appeal to me because for a number of reasons, part of which was I knew that I wanted to be near the coast. I love the water. you know, growing up in Oregon and starting out in Coos County, I was always near the water, and I loved being near the water, and so that just definitely had an appeal to me. And then back in those days, the Navy's ad campaign was Join the Navy, See the World, and that really appealed to me, the opportunity to go around the world and see different things. And, you know, at that point, I had not traveled much at all.
Growing up in Coquille and then later in Roseburg, some of the opportunities you've gotten, you clearly probably wouldn't have had you stayed here and pursued something else. You mentioned graduating from Roseburg High School. Where else did you go to school here?
I went to Fremont Junior High.
And then what about elementary?
I went to elementary school in Coquille.
Oh, okay. So what do you remember about your time at Roseburg High?
Oh, gosh. Roseburg was such a great place to grow up and a wonderful community to be in. And Roseburg High School was just a fantastic group of people, great teachers, great faculty, and the students were a really close-knit group. And I have to throw in, of course, the class of 1982 were awesome. We took first the state championship and the football team. We just had a really, really high-spirited class.
Wow. So when you got into the Navy, you talked about the appeal of being able to see the world. Just how much of the world have you gotten to see?
Well, so I'll tell you, when I left Portland to fly to Newport, Rhode Island for Officer Candidate School, that was the first commercial flight that I had ever been on. And I have now been to 67 different countries all around the world. So they definitely kept their promise.
Now, was that for assignments, or did you live in other countries at various points?
I did. I lived in, I was stationed in Italy, in Naples, Italy, and I was stationed in Bahrain, and then deployed and temporary duty in lots of other countries, you know, just constantly being overseas. I spent a lot of time in Hawaii and in the Pacific, so I traveled to a lot of different countries in Asia and around the Pacific. And then while I was in Bahrain and other times, I got to travel around some of the other countries in the Middle East. And while I was stationed in Italy, again, a lot of different places in Europe and in Africa because my assignment there was Naval Forces Europe and Africa. So I did, you know, got to go to a lot of places that and my husband and I also did a lot of traveling, you know, on vacation when we had the opportunity in those different areas. But a lot of times the Navy would send us to places that you would never pick to go on a vacation, but the opportunity and the experience to see the place, meet the people, understand the cultures in some of those places was just absolutely fantastic, and I would never trade that.
Contrast living in Italy with Bahrain. Those had to be two really different experiences.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that's very similar, the horrible traffic. They both are just absolutely horrendous drivers in Italy and in Bahrain, scary drivers. You have to get used to that. So it was actually a plus for me moving from Bahrain to Italy because I already kind of knew how bad driving could be when I got to Italy. But, yes, other than that, they were very, very different, totally different kind of cultures. But, you know, What ultimately it comes down to is you recognize that there are warm and friendly and amazing people everywhere around the world. And I definitely saw that in both countries, just different kinds of cultures, but terrific people that I really got a chance to get to know and spend time with.
In your early years in the Navy, did you set your sights on achievements like you have done? Or, I mean, did you kind of have a path and a direction you wanted to go? How did all this evolve?
Well, it certainly didn't evolve with me thinking that I was going to spend 34 years in and end up as a three-star admiral. As I said, I wanted to be a doctor, and I wound up at Officer Candidate School in a communications tour, and then was going to apply for this medical scholarship program after I had been in for a while. And I got to, my first assignment was in Hawaii at the largest communications, Navy communications station in the world. And I got to that tour and I loved what I was doing and decided, well, maybe I'll wait a little while. And so I did another tour and that was also in communications, and I really liked that, in Navy telecommunications, not the kind of communications that you do. And I really liked that, and I loved watching the technology evolve. And so that's when I went to the Naval Postgraduate School and got a degree in computer science and started specializing in what was then called computer security, evolved to network security, now called cybersecurity, and just loved all of what I was doing, decided that I didn't want to go pursue medicine anymore. And I just kept saying, I love what I'm doing. I'm going to stay in. I'm going to do another tour. I'm going to see what the Navy has to offer me. And you know, before you know it, I was at almost 20 years, and so it was pretty easy to say I was going to make it a career. But then went well beyond that, obviously, because I continued to have really rewarding tours and feeling like I was really making a difference.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. Back in 1 minute. We're speaking with Navy Vice Admiral, retired Nancy A. Norton, a Roseburg High School graduate. Back in 1 minute, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. And with us, Navy Vice Admiral, retired Nancy Norton, Roseburg High School graduate, recently retired from the U.S. Navy, joining us from Maryland. Just how long ago did this retirement officially go into effect?
The 26th of February was the retirement ceremony.
So what's it been like for the past few weeks?
It's been very strange. I feel like I'm playing hooky every day when I sleep in and get up and don't go to work.
What kinds of things have you done in the past month?
Well, we've had actually pretty good weather, so I've been able to, I live on a creek off of one of the rivers here in the Chesapeake Bay, and so I've been able to go out kayaking a lot, and which is just an amazing experience to be kayaking in the middle of the week for somebody who's spent so much of their time working and trying to get outside and catching up on a lot of things around the house that I've put off for a very long time.
I've been told by others who've been in the military, though certainly not people at the level that you've achieved, that leaving a long time, basically your entire adult professional life in the military, is a very hard transition sometimes.
I think it can be. It definitely, some of the things that make it hard is that you have such a well-established network of the people that you work with, that work for you, that that you care about, and then you're suddenly, you know, broken away from that, and that's a strange, definitely a strange transition, and it is for me as well, because so, you know, in my last job, I had about 18,000 people around the world that worked for me, and as you can imagine, over the last year with COVID and all of the things that we've been doing, I had a tremendous amount of responsibility of just caring for those people and making sure that they stayed safe and stayed healthy and stayed mission ready, because our job, in large part, was to make sure that the entire Department of Defense could telework whenever possible in order to prevent the spread of COVID. And so all of a sudden I don't have those responsibilities and I don't have those people that work for me anymore. So that makes it hard.
I talked to some of our National Guardsmen over the past few months who came back after a year-long deployment in mainly in Djibouti. I also talked to a Guard commander who was elsewhere, and they talked about serving overseas during this time of COVID, and it sounds like for you that was a big shift.
It was, very definitely. You know, for us, we essentially, almost, you know, just over a year ago, we sent all of the people that could work from home, and we were not at all expecting to be doing that kind of thing. We had done a number of exercises for contingencies where we'd do something like that on a much smaller scale. But our people responded incredibly well and are just so agile and resilient at learning how and figuring out how to be effective in a different environment. And then our job in the Defense Information Systems Agency was to make the tools available, the collaboration tools available for everybody to be able to do that at scales they'd never expected to be able to do before. And so it was quite a feat.
I know there's
Very rewarding.
There's a lot of rigorous things about military life and just rules and procedures and things like that. That had to be a lot different when you were at home.
Oh, definitely. Yes, very definitely. You know, there's just so much rigor and, you know, expectations in the military that you learn to not just understand but embrace as part of your culture.
So going through your past few positions, working your way up to becoming a vice admiral, what are some of the things you're proudest of in your career?
Well, I did a number of different jobs at various telecommunications stations, including command of one in Bahrain, as I talked about. I've served twice on Navy ships in communications roles, once on the USS Enterprise, and was deployed on 9/11 in the Arabian Gulf and North Arabian Sea as part of the first strikes into Afghanistan after 9/11. And I served on the USS Mount Whitney, which is the flagship for the U.S. 6th Fleet in Europe and Africa, and got to deploy in the Mediterranean Sea and the Black Sea and down into the Gulf of Guinea around Africa. And so those were wonderful. And then I did four tours in the Pentagon as well, and those were incredible tours in terms of really understanding how the Navy runs. And I was responsible for various levels of the Navy's information warfare budget. And the last time that I was there as a two-star, I was overseeing the entire information warfare budget for the Navy, about a $40 billion budget. And I also did four tours in Hawaii at communication stations and at headquarters, including the U.S. Indo-Pacific Command, and that's where I served as a one-star in running all of the communications and cyber programs there. So just absolutely wonderful different experiences.
Now, I understand that you were the first female director of the Defense Information Systems Agency. What was that like?
Going into the job, I hadn't really anticipated how much impact that me, you know, serving as the first woman would have on everybody around me, on the people, men and women serving at DISA and other places that we worked with, of recognizing that really did shatter one more glass ceiling, and it was really important. You know, every time we do this, it really matters a lot. I'm only the 13th female to have ever served as an active duty flag officer in the United States Navy.
Wow, that's got to feel pretty good.
It feels very good for me to have achieved it, but it's unfortunate that, you know, that the number is still so small. So I'm very eager to continue to grow those numbers with the women that I've helped to lead and train behind me.
Have you thought about, especially in this past month, maybe looking back at 34 years, anything you would have done differently in your career path?
You know, when I think about that, I look at my life and my career as what has formed me and molded me. And so there are obviously things that I think, oh, you know, I wish I'd done this differently, or I wish I'd handled this situation differently. But I really think that so much of what makes us successful and how we learn includes the failures and the difficulties and the struggles that we have and when we're young and as we're going through our careers. And so maybe if I'd done something differently as a junior officer, I wouldn't have learned the lessons that I learned then that helped me as a senior officer. So it's hard to say I would have done things differently, because I just really think that oftentimes that's what allows you to be, understanding as you grow older.
You talked about having impact during your work. As the word got out of this interview, I got a note this morning from someone who talked about when you were back here for that Veterans Day parade, and you spoke, I guess, at the high school. There's a student then who is now going to be graduating from the Navy in May that was really leaning pretty hard towards the Air Force Academy until he heard your talk, and he flipped and went to the Navy instead.
Really? That's wonderful. I did not know that. I am so glad to hear that.
So what is ahead for you now in retirement?
Well, I'm not really sure. I'm going to take some time off and spend some more time with my husband than I've been able to do in the last few years, and our families, his family's here mostly local in Virginia. I have family in Texas, and my brother's back there in Oregon in Albany, and dear friends, including my dear friends, James and Marie Gamble, that you know, and my friends Beth and Tom Griffin that are still there in Roseburg, and I want to get back there and see some of them and do some traveling, and I love to be on the water, so spend more time on the water. We just bought a sailboat, and we're going to be doing some sailing and things like that. And as I do all those things over the next couple of months, then I'm going to figure out what else I want to do and how I want to continue impacting people.
Navy Vice Admiral retired Nancy Norton, a 1982 graduate of Roseburg High School. Thank you for being on here. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Kyle. Thank you again. And thanks again to all of my friends and former neighbors there in Roseburg and Douglas County.
1258 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.